Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, and Mr. Robert Anderson. Say hello, Robert.
Good day.
And we're out in the lone, really lone, do the drone and kind of, you know, damn, it's just, you get high and there's nothing. I mean, it's nothing, you know, where the buffalo roam, is it?
Yeah, the cold buffalo.
Cold buffalo. Well, buffalo don't get cold. So this is... I wanted to do this, and the reason we're here near Eager, and we you know may be able to do a podcast edition of it, which would be, you know, no commercial interruption, whatever, with the mayor of Eager. So we're working that out. Donna's working that out. Yeah, Donna, you know, go ahead and contact him again. Tell him, you know, sometime this afternoon we can get there. We weren't able to, you know, it's kind of a short notice. But what happened when we were in Obergard area? They said, you know, the mayor of Eager said, we ain't doing it. I don't know what the hell you guys are doing, but you guys are getting down. We ain't doing it. So all the lockdown stuff and everything. So we're going, cool. Let's go talk to him. We're on the way. You want to go Eager anyway.
A freedom, you know, mayor.
You know, this is, you just show a little, bring the love bus. You just show them some love, man. Just show them some love. Yeah, these guys think they're alone. And they've been fighting it a lot of times for decades. These ranchers and so on. We remember in the 90s. You know, these guys were under the same gun. The same people doing the same stuff. And they keep making headway. More headway. More headway. It is... It's bad. Where does that sound come from? You got
your... What sound?
You hear that?
No. It's quiet out here.
Oh, I think it's coming from my... It's coming from my laptop. Here, I just closed it. Where's, I don't know. We got, you know, ghost stuff. Because we had a Starship up yesterday. We were trying to watch it. I think that computer over there is playing something. So while we were coming out here, we're going to Clay Springs. We're going to pull in. We're going to see what's up on there. We pull in there. We get a wide spot because we're 10 minutes from launch. Okay, or a half hour or what it was. So we sat there then, you know, Starship and countdown. Hey, we're doing it. 7 minutes. They're doing a countdown. They show it on there. SpaceX goes to their live feed. They're showing inside the engine bay. The stuff, 10, 9, 8, and then it gets to 1 and shut down.
Yep. Get close.
I know somebody didn't plug in the spark wire, you know? The spark plug didn't go. So they did, they went right up to ignition and then it didn't ignite. And that, it could have been a spark plug. I mean, cuz what they're doing, the way they normally do it is there's some liquid as two parts. When it combines, it immediately ignites. So they use this liquid something that ignites the engines. They don't want to use that because then you got to have that stuff. I mean, you know, can you make it on Mars? I mean, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's
right?
Called hydrogolic.
Which just means what?
Means as soon as it touches oxygen, it goes. It bursts to flames.
So, I'd vote not having that anyway. So then, well, that's what caused one of the Dragon fires or something. That stuff kind of had a leak and it caused a fire. And they were doing testing stuff.
Yeah, they had some of that reacted with the hydrazine or the stainless steel in the system or something. And, yeah, it blew up the capsule.
Yeah, so they, you know what? Let's not do that anymore, you know. So they're going to a different tech. Well, I think they use it on the Falcon 9, but... on the Raptor, because it's, you know, fully reusable, and they're going in on planets and moons and stuff, you know, landing, and 5 minutes later you launch again or something. And they're going, nah, we're going to have to come up with something else. Well, they have, like, spark plugs. You know, there's some kind of electrical ignition that they're doing, or they, you know, use flint on a Bic lighter or whatever the hell they're doing, and that did not go. Now, they said it was automatic abort Raptor or something. I don't know. 1 second. Either that didn't go, it didn't ignite, or they stopped it because some, you know, 30-cent computer chip said so.
Yeah, there's a myriad of things that all got to happen in microseconds to make that happen. And if one of them doesn't happen quite as fast as it's supposed to, they get a fault and they just abort.
So they're going to go today. What are they saying?
So far, they're, you know, I mean, at least from the feeds I'm seeing, I mean, everybody's there and they're watching, but they haven't started any countdown. But I don't even think it starts till like 9 o'clock their time, which is another couple hours away from here.
Yeah, so they're like, we're a little tired. We were up late.
Yeah, you know, well, somebody had to go do something, whether they figured it out. If they haven't said whether they figured out what the problem was. Like I say, it might have been as simple as, like, you know, George forgot to plug in the battery last night.
Oh, he's getting his wrist whacked.
Yeah, somebody, you got a meeting with Elon first thing this morning.
Well, you know, it's the same thing with the show. I mean, we start like an hour earlier, 45 minutes, we're in here doing all, oh man, this is not, what the heck is with that? And I think I know what it is, why the sound on the stream's not going. It's that wire right there. You know, because we moved it from here because it was having a problem, and then it worked, and then it's not. And you know, so it's at, you know, $8, whatever the hell. But what we're doing is just freaking our third rat's nest that we got to go into. We're going to do that again. I'm going to get new wiring and a new mixer and a new, because now we've gone from one point to the other. We're fixing stuff as we go here, because it's not just that it works. It's that it works in a bus, traveling, shaking, moving, because we made it to where everything folds up against the wall, and we got these bungees that kind of hold the monitors and so on and all the stuff, but it needs to be more robust and compartmented and foam kind of shock absorbent, whatever the hell, you know. So we're working on that. This is what this whole trip is about. So we get off my ass. You know, this is how, you know, everybody goes, wow, Ernie, how did you know 5 years? Well, they did it. I do it better. I go, yeah. Where were you 5 years ago? You know, I don't want to hear your crap. You know, this is, and you guys get to, you know, suffer along with me. So but I need the feedback. You know, and you guys go in the Telegram feedback. You know, the best feedback, you know, Scott. He'd bitch all the time. You know, it was like, you know, this and that, but it was because of Scott that we, you know, fix his stuff. I need the feedback.
Well, I was just listening.
Oh, no, and Bob's a bitcher, too.
Yeah, I just went back and listened to it during the last segment, or when we were talking to Tim, and everything's good, except the bumper music's still really loud when it comes back on, and when you talk and the bumper music's playing, it just is gibberish. You can't understand what you're saying. And
well, Donna says it was okay.
Yeah. It was loud.
It doesn't matter what Don says.
Can't hardly hear what Ernie and the guests are saying when the bumper music's playing. But that's got to come from LRN. It's not you.
Yeah, I'm. Well, I sent text to Ian for him to pull it down, because, you know, pull it down. So we're working on that. But, you know, this is, you know, stuff that we need to know for Lone Prairie. We stopped at Adam Kokesh's place, which was interesting. We'll talk about that and, you know, his progress there. But you know, I don't know how much we should talk about. You know, the man, he's doing stuff like, you know, the man, you know, but he got one of these pre-built puff shed whatever things he turns into a studio. Well, he insulated it really well, and that's warm, you know.
Yeah.
He's like, damn. I go, you're up in the Lone Prairie, you know, you got a warm place. Well, he was fixing the casing. One of the neighbors up there is a good welder, and he did a nice job. He had a water pump that, while they were gone, it got cold, and the ice in there just broke the casing. Because ice expands when it freezes enough that it just broke the steel, you know, or case, you know, iron, whatever the hell that stuff was.
Probably cast iron.
Yeah, you know, it's cast iron. But so the guy welded it and did a great job. I mean, it looked good. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you got to put it back together. But he did that. So you got, you know, community up there. And so I'm going, I don't know. It seems like you need to know how to weld there, you know, Adam. You're going to live on the land. You don't know how to weld. And you don't got a welder. You never get on it. And then, but he has all solar and so on. So it's interesting what he's doing. So he's doing a show. And he's got, you know, just a little studio thing in there. Well, he liked it enough, you know, if I just order a big one of these. That get me going while I build this other stuff, you know.
It's a major thing. When I moved out of my property, I was going to, you know, we were going to build our own home, straw bale or rammed earth or something. But you got to have something to live in, you know. The Insta house was kind of nice,
especially when it was one of the hottest summers ever. It was like 123 or some crap like that, and you're in this. It was in your Jackalope trailer.
Yeah, it's in my little 30-foot
with
RV.
Two babies. Did you have your second baby?
No, we had two teenage boys, two cats, wife, and a newborn.
Okay, so that was, bam.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, we're back. Me and Bob Anderson. All right, now we got the hum thing. That's not going out.
I'll go check. If you entertain, I'll go call up the network and listen. All right.
Donna, communicate. You know, are we getting kind of a hum thing going out of? God, man, it's always something. Well, one thing that I wanted to get into, I put up for today. There was an article that we had. Yeah, there it went away. No, it's back. Yeah, but it is annoying, whatever it is. We'll work. See, it's all this stuff. Damn it. I don't know if it's going out on. Wait a minute. Is it that one? There it went. I touched something. All right. But that's what a lot of this is for us to be able to test this stuff and what's necessary. Because a lot of times, you know, there's not a lot of people. I mean, you do the live streaming, you know, they do the live remote. We've done the remote for a long time with the Comrex. We've done a lot of it, you know, but have we done it all together, mobile, in a bus, using communication to be able to do a live show while we're moving to it? Yeah, they're called satellite trucks and CNN, you know, that kind of thing. And with a big, but we're trying to get it to where we're down to, you know, Lone Prairie of individuals being able to communicate and doing this stuff. So we're working it. So what'd she say? Is it got?
Well, she just texted and said it's gone, but I didn't hear it either on the
feed. All right. So we'll be all right. Now we'll just be annoying and us have to listen to it, which means it's.
You're touching stuff.
Yeah, well, you know. I'm hearing it. You know, I'm trying. I can tell when it goes off. Okay. What we're going to go ahead and do is. Eventually today, we're going to talk about a lot of the stuff that we're doing. Okay, well, I can turn. Is that you?
No. Turn me down. That's better. My ears aren't bleeding now.
Okay. Well, they told me to turn it up. Yeah, whatever. There was an article that was up there that was done by someone. I think it was Corbett that suggested, or was it Grove, one of these guys, on Psychopathy and Power by Caitlin Johnstone. And I wanted to bring that up, and we'll do that in the third hour, because this is the realization, and Bob and I were talking last night, is that, there's always, are we evolving towards a more sociopathic evolution of that's the dominant trait that humanity will be towards, and if they can't get it enough, well, they got a vaccine for that. I mean, they're gonna, you know, make you in generations on forever in the future, and there is some, they want this vaccine out really, and it ain't because you're sick. That is not it.
Now I'm thinking more and more this whole, you know, you hear the rumors in the back about sterility and things like that, but they've already caught Gates doing this stuff in third world countries where, like, you know, they're sterilizing people with these measles vaccines. And I tell you, go read the Georgia Guidestones. That's where we're going. Telling you, that's what it's about. This great reset, this is what it's about. They're telling you it's written in stone in Georgia. Go read it.
Yeah, there's a plan. And there's a club, and you ain't in it. You know, there's something else going on, and we're gonna find out. But you're gonna find out too late. And you go, yeah, but I wanted to be able to get concert tickets, so I sold my DNA to the future to have, sociopathic children, you know, whatever. Because there is a something that we're up against, and a lot of times they'll go good versus evil. And as you, if you've read the Bible straight through, you'll see that that was the contention all the time. It got down to free will of the individual. That's what, you know, I am the way, the light. A lot of that is, you know, non-aggression principle, golden rule, all this kind of stuff. And it, and if you, you know, start to live the way things are going now, and you go back through history, and the Bible is just a lot of wisdom. I mean, whether you believe it's divinely inspired or not, that's not even the point. The point is that they articulated a lot of the way kingdoms and dominion. Yeah, that was another thing. The definition of dominion, you know, they call the voting thing this, and what is it? You know, it's ridiculous. It's the power or right of governing and controlling, sovereign authority, rule, control, domination, a territory, usually of considerable size in which a single rulership holds sway, lands or domains subject to sovereignty or control, government, a territory constituting a self-governing commonwealth and being one of a number of such territory. You know, it's all these rings, yeah. One ring to rule them all.
Dominion, I mean, you know. Voting, yeah. I'm telling you, these guys,
they do it in your face.
They tell you what they're going to do. You just got to pay attention.
So I'm not, that's what we're up against. And that's this, but my argument is that never before in humanity have we been able to confront them with knowledge. They haven't, they've been secret before. They've been the Trilateral Commission where they took over all these cabinet positions and presidents and all that other kind of crap. And you got the banking system and you got the central command of big tech and they know what you're thinking before you do. And. So I'm just going, yeah, I'm thinking that we have a chance. And before it gets ingrained, we get our brain chips of whatever. So then you go to Elon Musk and you're going, why the hell would I want to, you know, first it's going to be disability, and but he's made it clear, no, this is so that we can compete with AI. This is so that we have a chance against, you know, whatever and whatever. And I'm going, all right, well, at least I can remove it. That was a big thing, is being able to remove it. So that was the test on the pigs and so on. You know, how are they affected, and they get them, you know, whatever. And then they can take it out, and it has no side effects. So when they do the probes, these little threads, a sewing machine that puts these nanowires into your cortex or straight into your brain, you know, they can kind of bypass blood vessels, and they go in, and then you got stimulation on neurons.
So what Musk is trying to do with his...
That is Musk. Yeah. Neuralink. So you're going to be, you know, the matrix of I want to know how to fly a helicopter. I mean, you know, whatever. But being able to extract it, you know, and remove all your plugs from matrix kind of thing, that'd be better than not. But this is the battle. This is where we're going. And when we're going, look, we want to be off their grid. You know, they, no, you're not allowed. And we love you so much, we're going to put a gun to your head and make you fill in the blank.
They love you so much, they'll kill you.
Right.
If you're suffering under some delusion that isn't the you know, the end all of where this is going to go.
They're already saying it. When you're 75, you're done, man.
Yeah.
You know, this is the great reset. Here it comes.
You go to the send-off room where they'll play sweet music and you'll have
Soylent like, Green
pictures
or
of
Logan's Run.
Yeah, you know, it's you're just a useless eater after 75.
So this is I'm looking at, you know, how did Ernie know? I'm like, how the hell did you not know? What were you paying attention to? What do you think this was about? I'm just, you know, I'm trying to be nice and, you know, lead, you know, by influence, you know, with example and imagination and inspiration and love bussing and all that kind of stuff. But at some point, it's not my job to save you. If you're too freaking stupid to see what's going, or worse, you know, and I want, you know, broadband brain chip. I mean, you know, okay, fine. You know, I'm not going to, that's like we have the letter of Dr. Idris Barber. You know, open ocean medicine. You want to upgrade yourself, fine. Peace out. It's your body. You do what you want. But you can't make me. That's the line. We'll talk about more when we come back.
And then the hump goes away. Yeah, just.
And now, no. Live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And we fixed it. It was
your rat's nest of wires.
Yeah,
over
it was
there.
A thing. It was a thing. It was the power pack for the transformer going into my laptop that was too close, wrapped around a wire that went into the compressor of the rat's nest.
Rat's nest.
You know, so this is it. You know, we got, because we kind of, you know, because, damn it. You know, we got it, whatever. You know, so we're working on that. Now, the what Bob and I were talking last night, and this is a good conversation. I made notes. I wanted to make sure we talked about this. If you have a future of a society, and it's going to be what? More supportive of what? What is the goal? Is it the goal of we need a controlled society to tell and everybody's going to do what we tell them kind of thing, and free will is gone and all that, which is why they want to get rid of the Christian community. The Christian community at its foundation is free will. Now they're going on, it's like shaming. Oh, you're going to hell. You know, you got bad things wrong with you if you don't believe the way, and you need to lighten this way, and this is the best way. You need mom and dad, you know, raising, 2.3 kids, and, you know, and yada, 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 yada. Well, a lot of, you know, people, it doesn't serve their interest to have the family as the top influencer. It's got to be, you know, government. Or it's going to be the ruler or the serfdom or whatever the hell. To the point that even the Prima Nocte thing that you know set off Braveheart, which was, you know, hey man, I'm going to bless this marriage by taking into my bed, you know, the bride on her wedding night because I just want to make sure you know that I own you. Okay? Well, you know, oh, we'll get just the right kind of lords that'll go to that, you know, area and dominion them, you know. So this is exactly it. Throughout history, you can see it's the same thing. It's all about these people that just think differently. They're not capable of understanding. They just want to balance the equation. They want to maximize their pleasure and minimize their pain. And what happens to you, they don't care. But they don't see what happens when you do that to a lot of people over a long period of time. And I've seen it happen. They try to placate you. And they go, no, we're gonna vote. Now, you got your Trump, and then he lost. I mean, why are you bitching? You've been happy if he won, you know? Now you're bitching about the vote total because you didn't get what you wanted? Now you're just a sore loser, you know? So that's why I don't put any, you know, deference into the elections. Because one, I don't think I need, you know, somebody else voting on who's going to rule me. But and you got, you know, 51% is now going to tell me how to live. So I'm going, but it doesn't even get to that point because I know it's not accurate. Because I have more faith in people to not be that stupid. But they are naive to think that the worst stuff. There are so many bad people out there. We have to create a government to protect us from the bad people. Well, where do you think the bad people go?
They're in charge.
You know, I'm like, you know, if you don't trust people, you sure as shit shouldn't be trusting the government. Oh, did I say that out loud? I'm just, man, what the heck are you thinking? So everything that we've been doing has been, you know, all the stuff that we did with, you know, the turkeys and the goats and the aquaponics and the chickens and the land and building the domes and all, is to get to the point to where we can have not too hot, not too cold, not too wet, not too hungry, not too thirsty of anywhere in one place of, you know, here we go. Oh, do you mean you would live in a tiny house? You mean you would this, you would that, you would, yeah.
Now, people better get used to living in tiny homes, because where we're going to go, they're going to be living in pods like you see over in Japan. Yeah. That's going to be your home. You're not going to have the option to live in a big house.
But it's going to have a nice lobby.
But no, because it's not going to be green. It's going to use too much energy. And if you want a bigger house, you're going to be a racist, misogynist, or, you know, non-greenist, or whatever, you know, some ist they're going to label you with.
Well, what was that, the teachers?
Public shaming you.
Yeah, what was the teachers thing?
To open the schools was considered racist, misogynist, and there was one other ist. I can't remember what it is. They, you know, it's like, you got to be kidding me. Everything is sexist. An ist. Sexist, that's right.
So, and then you know, because they got so much pushback, everybody's like, what the hell are you talking about? They tried to delete the tweet.
Delete the tweet, yeah. It was like, you know, these people are whacked. Yeah, it's like, we're well into the social shaming thing. Like, say, you know, we're all Facebooked up, and the whole world can now look at you and go, you suck. And that's what they're trying to use it to manipulate your behavior, is this whole social pressure thing.
There was a video done by Joseph Watson. What's his name? Anyway, the InfoWars kid. And he had a video that was about the takeover of communist China, you know, when Mao took over and what they did and everything. And it was a playbook from what they're doing now.
Yeah.
You know, there is a mechanism, and that's where you get the Illuminati and all that kind of stuff. It goes back thousands. Yeah, they got this thing written down, man. They know how humans work.
That's why they don't teach history in school anymore, because they don't want you to... I mean, it's pretty obvious. You go back and you look how these color revolutions or communist takeovers or whatever, how they happen. There was basically a playbook.
And you see that it's going back to the same people, the same organization, the same structure, and it's this Klaus guy, you know, doing the great reset. We're going to tell you how we're going to do it, and we're going to do it because we need to do it because screw you.
Which is why I'm telling people, better get food, because once they get in power, the way these people work is they sit there and they figure out who their enemies are, and they starve them to death.
And that's what I've been saying.
That's what they do.
This is going to be a food thing. You think it's not. All the surplus of the herds and the extra, we are just, America, fat.
You got about 3 weeks of fighting you without food. And after that, you're done. So the enemy, that's all they got to do. You know, all these people up on the rim, what do you think they would do if they just stopped the trucks delivering food up here? How long do you think the communities up here could survive?
Well, you know, a lot of people won't, but a lot of people will.
Yeah, that's
true. And it's going to be the right kind of people. And that's one thing I don't think they've factored into it. When they do this...
Well, people are naive. They don't think, oh, the government wouldn't do that. Well, go read history. Yeah. Governments, you know, what was the guy?
Democide.
Democide. You know, governments kill their own all the time. It's what they do.
Well, they had doomsday preppers, and one of the aquaponics guy, Chad Hudspeth, I think it was something like that. Chad, he went, and now he lives on, you know, big Texas farm that someone in his family had that he'd become part of, his dad had something. So he was in Northeastern Valley, you know, near Scottsdale and Phoenix area. And he goes, I'm going to do this. He created his own. He was able to make his own tubs and everything for aquaponics. They were the ones that we used for our aquadome. And we were pimping them, and it was called Endless Food Supply or something.
Yeah.
Aqua, you know, something. And he pimped it in all these hydroponic stores, and I mean, he worked it hard. Well, now it's becoming a thing. You know, there's a lot of people doing it. And he got on Doomsday Preppers, which was, they just, you know, try to make it look stupid, and what they just, so we knew how on the inside. So when National Geographic called me and they wanted to do a, you know, patriot kind of libertarian radio thing, they wanted me to be in with it, and I taped that conversation at the Skype. I got it, and I haven't published it or anything, but I got it. And you want to know how? I should do that. I should go find that son of a bitch and put that sucker out. This is how they try. Oh, but you're so strong and smart, and we want to make a, you know, they wanted to center the thing around my show, but they wanted to make fun of people.
Right.
Well, and I'm going, no, I know what you're going to do, and I'm not helping. You know, and this went on for, God, 20, 40 minutes just trying to.
Well, they try to, vanity, my favorite sin.
Exactly.
That's how they try to get you.
It's called the Devil's Advocate, or. Yeah, Devil's Advocate
movie.
Al Pacino and Keanu Reeves, which is a good enough reason to watch it right there. And I think Charlize Theron was in it, too. And, I think so. And at the very end, the devil's trying to get you to do whatever. And at the very end, you know, the reporter was the devil. And he goes up to this guy, and he says, you know, we need to talk, and pimp, and you're so cool, and you're so pretty, and you're so whatever. And he goes, okay, well, come to my office. And then the reporter turns to the camera.
Breaks the fourth wall.
And he morphs into the Al Pacino devil character, and he goes, vanity, my favorite sin. And I recognized that's what they were doing. And I go, no, I'm not playing. So they're like, damn it. You know, we thought that'd be an easy one, you know. And because when they did the Doomsday Prepper with Chad, he was smart. He said he played their game, but so he could say one thing. Because they only ask why once. Now, why do you guys do it? He goes, democide. Got to say it on national television. Democide. When the government kills its people. That's why I'm doing this. It's a food thing. And we go, whatever the hell you had to do is worth that,
yeah,
right?
Ding,
there.
Ding, 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 ding. He won.
You win. Winner for the win, Chad. Democide. And that's what's coming. And if you don't think so,
go read the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah, what you been paying attention to?
From the third letter of Captain Mark. The Crown's observation conditions us to be dishonest with ourselves. Therefore, constant surveillance produces a society of constant deception. Honest communication is the seed of civilized conduct. To deny us this seed is to deny us its fruits. But the Crown's primary objective is to stifle free thought itself, to make its subjects incapable of dissent. Seasoned pirates have always encrypted messages and codes and ciphers, so intercepted transmissions were incomprehensible. But today, the Crown possesses advanced tools of pattern recognition that document, profile, and predict our every move. Today, piracy requires hailing frequencies completely invisible to the Crown. We are tired of poltergeists in the static. Looking for a community of like-minded scoundrels, or just want some swag to let the Crown know what you think of it? Join the conversation at piratswithoutborders.com.
Rhodes? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
All right, we're still working on it. I'm pull me down, 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 and bob up, 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 and it's LRN.
Yeah, the bumper music coming in loud, they have to take care of. The other stuff, you know, we can deal with, but those got, the people out there are giving us feedback. You know, we need the feedback, so don't feel bad giving it to us. You know,
I hate to be a
dick. Yeah, lay it on us, man. Tell us how bad it is, because we're trying to fix it. Yeah, it's you know.
Well, I'm sending stuff to the network. You have to lower the what's going out on the feed. Yeah, because
at least music coming back in is.
Well, I could crank it up more, but I'm maxing out. Then you start getting over a modulation on the microphones.
You shouldn't chase them. They need to come down to you, because that's what the trouble, I think, is that, right. You know, you've been trying to chase the network, and everything gets too loud and crazy.
I'm working on it. I'm working on my
oatmeal.
Yep.
Thank you for breakfast. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. What we think is going to be happening is it's going to be Arizona. It's always Arizona. You know, we make an example, we start to push back, and then they make an example out of Arizona. One of the reasons is because we have all the examples. You know, for example, you have Native American large reservations on lots of land. So they definitely want to get them out of the way. Sooner or later, this Native American land of, we got a whole bunch of thorium, uranium, and, you know, other resources and gold and this and that. They tried to give them the crap land. You know, we're going to give you all this debt, like up here. You got all the, you can have that. That's barren. We're not be farming. We're not going to be having any weed out there. So, you know, that's all y'all, man. You knock some. Wait a minute. There's some minerals in there. You got lithium in it. You know, we changed our mind. And then to do that, you know, they just got to, you know, westernize their children, which then it was the Native, you know, pushback in the 60s, 70s, and so on. They took over Alcatraz, and that's where Russell Means came from, and his libertarian, you know.
Second Sioux, Wounded Knee and all that stuff.
Lakota Sioux and all that kind. You know, so this is, and it was never really, they got bought off. Oh, we'll give you more goodies, and we'll build this, and, you know, Bureau of Indian Affairs, of which McCain was, like, you know, deep into that. And they're not wanting to preserve a culture or defend individual rights or live up to treaties or deals. That's not in their wheelhouse, you know. It's all about domination control, and we'll get it eventually, and it's going to be ours. They're going out. So when we deal with Native Americans as politicians or candidates and going out and talking with them, they've been beaten to submission. They get their tribal elders, and all they want is what they're going to, a cut they're going to get, as opposed to advocating for freedom. Then we had the Ron Paul Revolution, and you had a lot of the young teenager, early 20 guys that are now in their 30s, you know, that were, yeah, I just want to, you know, I want to be free, and I'm advocating for freedom. It's starting to come back. They got to beat that in some, oh, hell no, we don't want to go through this again. They screwed up our crap for 30 years. We got to, you know, beat them into submission and use tech to do it.
No, I was just putting my mic back so it wouldn't be out of place.
Well, talk while I'm eating.
Talk while you're eating. Yeah, no, I mean, out of all the people, you ought to understand that, you know, the Native Americans have been dealing with the government and being betrayed longer than anybody else has. It's just slowly but surely becoming our turn, and we're starting to realize that we're just on a giant federal plantation. You know, I always say that. You know, they go, oh, you know, Lincoln freed the slaves. No, he didn't. He just made us all equal. As slaves,
yep.
You know, we all became U.S. citizens under the protection of the, you know, instead of being a state
protection.
Citizen, right, now you're a U.S. citizen, now we can all treat you like, you know, slaves, and, you know, how do you feel putting out 50% of your, you know, your labor and effort over the course of a year just to have it sucked away and given to some teacher's union who won't teach your kid because it's sexist, misogynist, and, you know, I mean, they're still collecting their paychecks and they're not educating your kids.
We get a bond override.
Can we get a bond override?
We need some more money to not teach your kids.
You know, that kind of thing. It's crazy. And people are, and, you know, you hear people talk of the example all the time. It's like, you know, it was 3 or 4% tax on tea, and we went to, you know, war with the greatest nation on the planet, and now we're, you know, we're as they take away 50% better of our, you know, fruits of our labor over the course of a year for what? People are starting to realize in New York, that's why all the business is leaving. Musk is leaving California. He finally went like, why am I here? Why am I paying all this money in taxes, and I'm getting nothing but beat up? I'll go elsewhere. Money.
Yeah, that was a Joe Rogan thing, and Matthew McConaughey, and all this kind of, you have all these people, celebrities that they count on to forward the message and Zieg Heil and click heels to whatever the hell. And where are all the celebrities now? I mean, it used to be every freaking cast of Friends, every, pop artist, every. And now it's like, where are they?
Yeah, well, they killed Hollywood. I don't know. They must have done some deal with Hollywood or something because they sat back pretty easy.
Yeah, China bought them.
And just to be shut down because, I mean, movie theaters are done. They're not making any movies. It's a thing.
Well, it is. It's something that, Dr. Frank and I have been going on about. It's a culture thing. That they were going after the minds of the people. This has been, their goal. And if you don't see it, I don't know what the I can't drag you. I don't care. I'm past that. We did our best. Bob and I have been doing this 30 years. At least 25 plus whatever of actual activism. So it's like you and I met in 93. I remember it was November, October 93, around in there.
Right about when you were getting arrested for holding a sign up at a Janet Reno rally or something like that.
Right. Right after I just got elected county chairman, I was independent working with, libertarians a lot. They were all friends for years, we were doing this. But I needed my independent status for my lawsuits. Well, once the government stipulated that I was right on a bunch of stuff and they did stays and we're going to fix it, there was a window there that I could register libertarian. I registered libertarian. And, like, a couple hours later that day, I was elected Maricopa County Chairman of the Libertarian Party. Because, everybody knew me already, and they knew I was doing and why I was doing it. And I go, look, if we do this, we're not, there's no negotiation. This is hardcore activism to do some whip ass. Because I can see what the problem is. You're trying to be like them, and you'll screw that. I mean, if you want me to do this, we're going to do it. So you were at those meetings, like, and I get elected county, let's go kick ass. That was November, I think. By January, it was Martin Luther King holiday weekend, and Janet Reno came to Arizona. It was after Waco and all this other stuff was going on. And we had signs up, legalized freedom, registered libertarian, or something like that.
Yeah, it was a pretty innocuous sign, but boy, they did not.
No,
they were
going to
put those people in their place.
Because Janet Reno, what we realized is where we were standing is where she was going to pull in with her limo circling the block in the high school auditorium thing, and the media was going to get that in the background. That just was not going to happen. We just happened to be in the right place. Well, I knew, the Constitution, because I've been doing all my lawsuit stuff, and as long as you're not impeded, that's how the Hare Krishnas get away with shoving stuff in your face at the, airport or whatever. But it was, if you don't impede their travel, they're walking, if you don't get in their way, if you don't make them slow down or deviate path or anything, you can do whatever you want. Well, I'm up against a wall. I'm way back in the parking lot, and we were there early, and we had it all decked out, holding that, and they go, nope, you can't. And they come out, really? This is not a private event. It's on public land, using public, facilities, with public money, the public, and the public invited, and the public. Well, there was like 100 people there with signs, protesting Janet Reno. They're out, they were all being their patriot guys. And the night before, they had some big 800 people at a DoubleTree Inn ballroom, and we spoke at that and told them what we're going to do, and we're going to be there. Everybody left except us. They went out on the sidewalk. They went outside the fence. They went, I go, hell no, just out of principle. Well, then it became a thing, televised the lawsuits, went to the U.S. District Court, yada, 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 yada. And it all came, and they arrested me. And then they let me go, because they're like, damn it. You know, but you can't go back. You better, might as well keep me here because that's where I'm going. Okay? So I went back. They saved me a seat in the front row. Janet Reno was just wrapping up. My butt bounced off the seat, stood up. Waco! 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 You know, it was amazing experience and how they just make it up as they go along. They, you know, you're not allowed to speak if it was, you know, you had to be inside the facility. And if you're inside the thing and you had signs, that was okay, but not the parking lot. 2 weeks later, The Current, which was another newspaper activist that were more liberal, they were out with their papers inside on them voting for the baseball stadium and some other taxpayer ripoff. They arrested them for being inside, but you could have been outside. You know, it's just, so I'm done with process.
Yeah, they can arrest you. They just don't charge you. They just remove you from the area long enough so that they can get done what they want to do.
And rights then, delayed, rights denied.
Yeah, it's no harm, no foul. We didn't press charges.
We've known this for a long time. Where is your mind? Don't stop. Next hour.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
I'm waiting for it to go down because they can't hear me anyway.
Oh, as it tapers off, then you can come in. It's when the height of the music is playing and you're over there or your guest
hey,
is
man,
talking.
I'm bitching to Ian, you know, at the network, you know, bring the volume down of the rejoiners and so on because it when anything we say is garbled. See, normally you would be able to, you know, adjust that from your own stuff if I'm running my own music, which is may we, when we redo this, I don't do bumper music in the second and third hour. I had them say I could have them just. I would normally just say, "Yeah, just go ahead and hear some new ones and do you know add it in the second and third hour." But then we'd have
right, and that might
more
be
problems,
and might,
you know?
And that might be the solution, or at least you know tell the audience it's
no,
like
that's
yeah,
not
they,
the solution. It would be loud, you know.
No. I mean, you doing the music from here instead of doing it from the network.
Yes, but that doesn't do the out that going out. You know, that has to come from them because I'm busy doing other stuff, you know, and you
oh.
a signal. But it's the rejoining music coming in. So I would go, all right, I don't know what to do. You know, we may, you know, just not have commercials anymore. Or, you know, I don't want to leave LRN because, one, it gets my ass up in the morning. But the but it's the community. You know, we've been kind of part of that's our, you know, help with the community because they have a lot of pirate stations around the country and there's some Terran license stations. That's why I can't say naughty trash can words as much as I'd like. But, you know, this is, you know, for the community and they have satellite, you know, and we support. I think I put in just last month, I just started paying $50 a month for them to continue the satellite because I think that's a really good in the future because I remember in the 90s when it was shortwave. You know, you didn't hear anything on the radio what was really going on. The Patriot community and the, you know, the Bo Greitz and the, you know, Vampire Killer 2000s and the, you know, the Jack McLams and a lot of the other guys that, you know, they went, you know, the Alex Jones types, you know, all those guys, they were shortwave. And you get a special radio, and you could tune in, because a lot of people in the rural areas anyway, they didn't get the station. So it was them being able to communicate and say what was going on, to what end. You know, that nobody else knew, and they voted whatever, or they just, you know, cranked up the election fraud, which we saw happening.
Yeah, people haven't figured out that this election fraud thing has been going on for decades. It's just kind of, they finally get so blatant about it that it's so obvious to every, you know, at least half the country that this election, but, you know, this is what they've been doing for a long time. They've been slowly moving the, you know, the populace or the political mindset of the people in a certain direction through voter fraud for years. You know, as libertarians, we're always going, well, they, you know, they, we didn't lose because they stole the vote, libertarians, but we were just way aware of the voter fraud because we were watching it.
Yeah.
So this voter fraud thing has got to get fixed. Or you know, people, you know, still voting. People just got to realize your vote, you know, it sucks to be in a, you know, you're in a democracy. No, we're not, because your vote don't count. Unless we get serious about fixing the vote, you're never going to fix this problem, because they're just going to keep telling you this is what your neighbor said.
Well, this is the pushback that I get when I talk about this and election fraud and all that kind of stuff. They come back and they say, oh, Ernie, you're talking about voting again. You're advocating even voting. Oh, my God, you're so not a good voluntarist anarchist of whatever the hell you are. And I'm the reason I do this is because I can't even get to the principle of voting until all these people that think it matters understand it doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, it's not accurate. I'm going, you think your opinion is being represented, and it's effing not. Wake the F up, man.
This is the veil of legitimacy that those use, is that, it's the vote, and, you know, people starting to wake up, yet your vote don't mean nothing.
So I'm not. I, you know, so now it's gotten to the point to where we're trying to bend kind of what the bus tour is about, because you're going to have problems. You know, it's like we have power problems, we have connection communication problems, we got water problems, we got engine problems, we got, you know, too hot, too cold problems, we got problems. You know, but we've mitigated a bunch of it, and we're learning a bunch of stuff. Bob's been out in Lone Prairie in the middle of the desert for, you know, what year did you move out there anyway?
Let's see, about 17 years ago. I can't, whatever that, don't make me do math. I only had one cup of coffee. 17 years ago, because we moved out there when Robert was an infant, so that's how I judge it.
All right,
I keep track of my boy's age, and that's about it.
No, that works. Yeah, that's good enough. So this is, so now we're looking at your experiences of, you know, a decade and a half or more of what it takes. So when a lot of times Bob, you know, people go, well, we're going to this and we're going to that. And he goes, yeah. Well, let me tell you what you're going to have to contend with. Oh, no, that will be a big deal. Oh, yeah, you'll think it's not a big deal until you turn the faucet and it doesn't
go where.
Yeah, and you're like cold water all the time. And the spouse is like, where's my, you know, cooking ability? You know, what do you want to be, campfires or what? That was one thing. Adam had this rocket stove, big concrete barbecue.
Pizza oven, outdoor kitchen thing. It was pretty cool.
That was very cool.
Yeah, I wish I shall build one.
I think it's going to be included in my thing, you know? And that was what's happened in the backyards in Arizona, is they, one of the common features, because we spend so much time outside in Arizona, and it's, even in the summer, it's hot. You got shade or misters or fans or whatever. I mean, you know, a lot of times it's better outside. You can keep you got the pool, you jump into water, whatever. And you have these big, kind of a Mexican style usually, or they're contemporary, or they put their stainless steel, whatever, in. But a lot of it, in the backyard, you build a patio bar and cook and barbecue and all. It's a thing. It's a feature in a lot of homes. And so I'm going, this is what he did, was kind of, you know, would meld into that. You know, you got the shade, you got the rocket stove opening, kind of a rocket. You know, like you have these potbelly stoves, and you set the pan.
Yeah,
right
when it's
it.
You know, it's 120 degrees out, and you're trying to keep your house cold. Last thing you want to do is fire up the oven and, you know, start cooking inside. So,
which
you,
is a lot of why people cook. Yeah. Why would you cook outside? Because I don't want to be cooking inside.
I'm paying a lot of money to keep that house cold. I don't need to pay more money to heat it back up again.
This is, you know, what what he had created, and then he had from pieces and parts that he got from my stable. You know, he just took a bunch of crap. And he's like, I want to take this and this. And yeah, whatever. You know, however you use it. And then one thing was a frame for a garage kind of deal, you know. And he goes, you recognize those posts? I go, yes, I do. They came from that. So he had, you know, created a cool little thing.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of the other stuff. Now, one of the original domes that we had, it was an off size. It was like 13 feet. I don't know why we had, you know, I don't know why we got the measurement, something. Anyway, it was an off size. I just gave it to him at Jackalope years ago. Well, the first thing he did is he covered it with this lath metal screen kind of stuff you do for stuccoing homes, and trowel at a time. And out I go, that, hell no, I ain't doing it like that. But it's a nice little concrete dome cave thing with an entryway. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it was, you know, it'd be interesting to see what it's like, you know, in July. Bitch, it's cooler than outside.
Yeah, no, it's, and then he's got this big kitchen thing that he did that has got a roof on top. Finally, he just built a patio on top of it because everybody was up on top of the thing anyway.
Yeah, he's got this, like, man cave tower. It's pretty cool. Yeah.
And then, but it's a lot of labor. And, you know, and Adam goes, yeah, you just said, but, it, you know, it's like you got to get all the minions out here and we're going to do concrete today and everybody can, well, if they're smoking weed, you know, there's your problem, you know. That, nothing's getting done. You got to make the commitment to do it. That's why Green Dream Project is him and his wife just every day out there.
Man, they are animals.
They're animals
working to get that stuff done.
So we're looking forward to going out and maybe helping a little bit.
Yeah, Earthbag Animals, man. They're at it.
We'll be right back.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800, 602-264-2800, and now, Ernest Hancock.
And Robert Anderson now here. Now, to me, it's showing louder than, you know, it's the network, you know, and if I have to crank it up way high, get, you know, static and, you know, overmodulation and stuff. So, because what I'm doing this for is I want to make sure that we have a good archive. So when I do, you go listen to the archive is fine. You know, everything is, you know, out there and people think it's great, most wonderful, whatever the hell. You know, but I need you guys' help. So you guys keep up, man. You know, you keep telling me what's up. You know, I'm trying to get Donna to communicate with me on the other channel with me and Bob and kind of, you know, but she's kind of, you know, sparse in the communication. So I need you guys to keep up on it on a regular basis. You see problems, let me know. I need to know. I need to know. I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't know.
That's right. You don't know what you don't know.
You know, I mean, I need to know what you know. Now, Bob's been good. When he's at home, he'll do it, and he'll just kind of keep me up. Now, Scott, you know, he'll be a little bit of a dick about it. But, you know, at least he's...
He's giving you feedback.
At least he's giving me feedback. So, you know, that's cool. But the... there was this one article I just want to read a couple of paragraphs of it and encourage you to do it. Now, Donna, it's called On Sociopathy and Power, PSYCHOPATHY. Now, I had it on the top of the page or near the top of the page here in the last couple of days. So if you look for On Sociopathy and Power, find that article and put it into the third hour on the show because I want people to reference this. Now, it's by... Caitlin Johnstone. So CaitlinJohnstone.com on Sociopathy and Power, or you can get it, you know, from the link on Freedom's Phoenix. Due to a very painful and disturbing revelation in my personal life, I gotta close this, it keeps bringing up the telegram. In my personal life, I have had the unfortunate occasion to spend the last several days thinking a lot about psychopaths and what makes them tick. I don't want to get into the hairy details at this time, but I would like to share some of the more general thoughts that have been coming up here on the matter. This is how Frank became aware of this stuff. There was someone in their sphere, you know,
who was one.
And friend, who was, and he was like, what the hell is going on? And once they, you know, sociopath next door, they could see what was going on. And then all of a sudden you start to recognize it in society and government and all that kind of stuff. It is interesting that psychopathy should have reached a dark tentacle into my life in the way that it did, given that the 3 years I've been at this gig have been spent writing more and more about the way our world is run by calculating manipulators who are devoid of empathy. I often say that we have found ourselves ruled by psychopaths because we have a system wherein A, those who are willing to do anything to anyone are rewarded with immense wealth, and B, immense wealth translates directly to immense political power. And in the fact that studies have shown that wealth itself kills off empathy and compassion, and you've got yourself a perfect recipe for a plutocratic dystopia dominated by antisocial personality disorder. I'm not really interested in getting into the specific clinical diagnosis of psychopathy and sociopathy for the purposes of this discussion. What I'm talking about here is a specific slice of humanity that is neurologically wired in such a way that they experience the world more as a series of puzzles which can be manipulated around to get them whatever they want, regardless of who it hurts, rather than experiencing a world full of fellow sentient beings with whom you can have deep, meaningful connections and interactions. Not all people who are diagnosed as psychopaths are high-functioning enough to manipulate people at high levels, and not everyone who manipulates people in this way would necessarily be diagnosed as a psychopath or even a sociopath. Feel free to mentally substitute whatever term you prefer. I think the difference between sociopath and psychopath, psychopaths like do it, and I mean, sociopaths have no empathy and psychopaths enjoy, you know, causing pain or something. I mean, you know, I think that's kind of the difference, whatever. Whatever you want to call it, people who have this condition and are able to avoid prison tend to do quite well for themselves by our society's standards because they don't see other people as anything other than tools and resources. They don't let empathy and compassion stand in their way when viciousness and exploitation will help them achieve their goals. Because they don't value connections with other people, they don't see narratives and descriptions as paths towards deeper understanding, but as tools which can be twisted and distorted in order to secure themselves more wealth, status, sex, or whatever else they want. They quickly rise to the top in corporate and financial settings, in media institutions, in government agencies, and in politics. In modern society, this ability is a natural advantage that the rest of us simply cannot compete with.
That's my take on it, is we have a... there's a tweak in the human species, and this is, and this, and we kind, empathetic people, we're actually the weaker of the species, and we are slowly but surely going to be bred out.
When it comes to this kind of collectivism that you create for somebody to be in charge of.
That's correct.
Whenever you create any kind of a mechanism for control, governing, okay? When you create any kind of government, it is a structure. So is Art Hamilton a sociopath? He wanted this government. He needed to have a collective to do whatever the hell it was to fight wars. How are we going to sustain a war if we can't tax everybody for a war? Well, that's a sign of a freaking sociopath, psychopath right there, you know?
Yeah, these people, I mean, it isn't like a new phenomenon. This has been going on since the dawn of man.
So this is, we can't compete with somebody that's willing to do anything to take your crap. And then they you know, people rise up against them. What are you willing to do to get rid of that bad guy that's willing to do anything to take your stuff? And my argument to Bob was, is that at some point, the people always rebel. Well, they go into their secret society. They're not so secret now because they like, can't be. But this is the first time in human history that we have the ability to know, understand, document, archive who the bad guys are. This is why we wrote the fourth letter of reprisal on piratewithoutborders.com. Go read the fourth letter of reprisal. You go into the letters of Mark online, or you get the book. Now, in there, we're talking about reputation. Your reputation precedes you. How do you have a Yelp rating on individuals? You know, how do you, you got to create that. Well, right now, we inspired a bunch of coders in Moscow. They're all over it. They're like, whoa, man, this is what we, because they know how to do it. They just don't know what to do. They're just a bunch of, you know, kids of whatever the hell. So now they're starting to see, whoa, this is big. Well, they're going to try and monetize it and become filthy, stinking rich and do and whatever and tweak it. I don't care. You know, I just need this. All right. She continues. But it's not, how much time I got in this? We don't have time to do it. But you get the idea. Bob is saying that we're at a disadvantage. We're going to be overwhelmed by these kinds of people. I'm going, because we know who these kinds of people are, once we get the logic and reason and George Carlin of we realize there's a club and we ain't in it, you know, what do? You have to dismantle these institutions. You want one world order? I give you one world evolution. It has to be decentralized down to the individual. If you don't do that, if it's not the promise of the Declaration of Independence, you know, when they aren't defending individual rights, time to alter or abolish, it's your right, your duty. This is why they said every 20 years, you got to water the tree of liberty with blood or you find this.
We've been way overdue.
Way overdue.
Because we have empathy and they don't.
Right. We'll be right back. I just got feedback from Ian. Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about your levels. Yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about the levels. So, whatever. I just said lower LRN, so we'll see. You know, I don't know if he did there.
Just the bumper stuff. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah, they also do rerun. I'm 6 hours on LRN. So they do it at night, and the levels are low, you know. So I'm like, wow, we're blowing out. Well, increase us or lower them or something, because I check today now. You know, do it live now, Ian, because, you know, this is, I mean, I got the levels set as best as I can, you know. Whatever. So anyway, so we're on it, guys. Yeah, you guys keep complaining.
Yeah, the audience says we're pretty good. It's just the bumper music coming back. This has got the little hiss in the background they're dealing with, but that's not level thing.
We'll monitor it and keep track of it, and we'll work it out, Ian, because Ian and I have worked before where we kind of, you know, do it manually and we sit there and so on, but I don't know if we've done it on the bus before. So we're getting on it. All right I wanted to continue because I really like this article. I want to continue this because Caitlin Johnstone, and I think it was Richard Grove or James Quire. I think it was Grove that was telling me about this, on psychopathy and power. And it continues, but it's not just our current iteration of society which elevates psychopaths to the top. A casual glance through recorded history all around the world reveals an essentially unbroken track record of genocide, slavery, torture, exploitation, and degradation as far as the eye can see, with the driving characters time and again being depraved dominators, conquerors, and mass murderers. Research some of the horrors that were inflicted upon the Aboriginal people of Australia and the indigenous populations of the Americas, and you'll see that the whole thing was driven by total lack of empathy for those human beings. And they would also demonize them. You know, those...
They were less than human.
Those savages, those, you know, yeah. You know, primates, those monkeys without hair, or whatever the heck they got to call you to get you to, you know, say, okay, well, you should, you know, lay waste to them or something. And the trail of tears and the massacres and all this kind of... That empathy on the rest of the other people went, whoa, whoa, whoa. What the hell did you do? You... What? So I'm telling you, that information and incense people... is an obstacle to them. So they got to desensitize us. They got to, you know, social media beat you into whatever the hell they're doing, turn you into Karens. You know, this is, you know, Nazis did this, the informants, the East German Stasi, you know, the Soviet Union. This is not new.
Yeah, it's okay to beat up some old white grandmother walking across the street because you feel like you've been oppressed by
rich white males, straight males, rich white state males that are married with children, those guys. I mean, it's coming. People will backhand all y'all if you don't see it. You know what I mean, I don't know what the hell you need to look for. Throughout history, our main problems have been caused by the way we keep designing systems which elevate psychopaths to positions of leadership, who then go on to make psychopathic decisions. Given the fact that people who are indifferent to truth or human suffering has always been so adept at ascending to power positions. Now, this is one thing they go, oh, the children, the earth, the environment, the whatever. These people screaming all this stuff we got to do, they don't give a crap. They're just wanting you to do what they want you to do in the name of the wolves or something.
Yeah. Oh, it's about the children, but we're not going to educate them. We're going to lose a generation because of this nonsense, because these kids are never going to recover from losing a year of school unless their parents are homeschooling. Then they'll excel. But these kids are going to suffer. And all the, we got to protect the kids.
Yeah. It's hard to even imagine a society where we don't find ourselves ruled by psychopaths. George R. R. Martin set out to tell a story about a cast of characters all vying for power in an epic Game of Thrones. And that story wound up being populated almost entirely by psychopaths and sociopaths. It makes for a compelling tale because it's very believable based on what we all know deep down about human behavior patterns. But it's also a relentless assault on the audience's empathy center. So what can be done then? How can we, ordinary, feeling, caring human beings, protect ourselves from this segment of the population, which has been driving us into disaster after disaster since the dawn of civilization, before they get us all killed? This is what we're dealing with right now. I can see why they wanted me to see this. Psychopathic leaders have never had any trouble figuring out how to get rid of segments of the population who they deem problematic. They round them up and exterminate them. This would obviously be out of the question for many reasons, not the least because in order to implement it, we'd need to become psychopaths ourselves. We'd be curing the sickness by becoming the sickness. Passing a bunch of laws against manipulation and deception won't work either. Manipulators actually love rules and laws because they can figure out how to manipulate them and use them to their advantage. Julian Assange is currently awaiting extradition hearings in Belmarsh prison because a bunch of psychopathic manipulators decided to pretend that it was very, very important to respect a series of laws and rules ranging from bail protocol to whistleblower source protection to government bureaucracy to embassy cat hygiene, and they were able to engineer a result that just so happens to look exactly the same as imprisoning a journalist for exposing U.S. war crimes. All the worst atrocities in human history have been perfectly legal. I've seen some people advocating mandatory brain scans for anyone seeking a leadership position. It is true that a psychopath's brain shows up differently from the rest of us on a PET scan, and it is possible to envision a future where the collective is so aware of the promiscuous dance between psychopathy and power that such a policy might be set and enforced. The problem, of course, is that manipulators manipulate, and there are ways to manipulate one's way around such a system. They've been inserting themselves into unofficial leadership position for ages, for example, which they never need to be tested for. Plutocrats, advisors, propagandists are all in unofficial leadership positions. Maybe you've got your own ideas about this, but I personally can't think of a single solution to the fundamental problem of psychopaths inserting themselves into positions of power which doesn't involve drastic, unprecedented changes in our civilization and our culture. Even if you completely tore down capitalism, ended plutocracy, and replaced the entire system with a government-planned economy, you would still have positions of power and the absolute certainty of psychopaths manipulating their way into those positions sooner or later. I'm talking about changes as drastic as the end of anyone having any power over anybody at all. A society where the idea of having power over anybody becomes so culturally taboo that even an unequal power dynamic between spouses would be seen as outrageous and ugly, to say nothing of governments or police forces. Such a society is very far from what we've got now, but it would surely be a very inhospitable environment for psychopathy. There would be no positions of leverage for one to manipulate their way in order to force others to give them what they want. And if you started trying to create ones, everybody would immediately point at you and yell, "Hey, what are you doing? Stop that. That's weird. If you want something from us, you need to form consensual, collaborative relationships with us, just like we're all doing." See, this is what I'm telling you, man. This is what I was talking about. Bye-bye. I'm going, once we start to understand this, then we can combat it. And what's the first solution? Quit creating organizations. Quit having all this structure and hierarchy, because all the hierarchy, all of this structure is what they, them, those that won't leave us alone. You want to know who they, them, those are? the ones that won't leave you alone. And how do they bother you? With an authority, a shiny badge. Shiny badges, you know, everywhere. I mean, this is what I'm talking about. You think I'm the only one that saw this? I mean, you know, what does it take? You know, Caitlin Johnstone to write it? I mean, you know, what the hell you think we've been talking about? So she did a good job. I like, you know, she can do that. So this is, I'm wanting to, and I need to know if you can hear me over the break now. You guys in Telegram, right now, tell me how, what percentage of volume is the network over me now? Because it seems like it's down. So maybe.
Maybe knocked maybe it down a little bit. Down.
So we need to know. So get back to us. We'll be right back with more on this.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Robert Anderson. Okay, the levels between the rejoiner and that. Donna, I need to know. How's it sound? Same, more, less, what? Need no. Let me turn it up. One. All right. There. You know, let me know. Now. If I don't know now, I can't fix it, you know, so I need to know. All right. Psychopathy and power. I'm going to put the link that we had that in into the Telegram because this is powerful stuff. And I wanted to make sure that you guys know that this idea is done. What is that?
Oh, never mind. It was a Telegram. She just wrote you back.
Oh, okay. No, you showed me a motor. I'm like, now? Seriously? You know, so I'm going to put this in here. Boom, boom. You go check the Telegram for Declaring Independence Day, this article. This needs to be distributed wide and far. Now, one of the things for how people and why they follow it and how they're so susceptible to shiny coats and badges and whatever is what Davi's sociopathic, authoritarian sociopathy. You know, this has been what we kind of been aware of this, but I think this article did a really good job on this. All right, so let's go ahead and I want to finish this. Let's see. It's also possible to imagine a culture in which manipulation is seen as an unacceptable taboo, which immediately draws public backlash in the same way. In such a culture, children would learn from the youngest age what honest and sincere interaction is. Okay, what did she say? Well, let me know how the mic stand, you know, sounds now. Now. It's also possible to imagine a culture in which manipulation is seen as an acceptable taboo, which immediately draws public backlash in the same way. In such a culture, children would learn from the youngest age what honest and sincere interactions look like, with examples of decent deceit and manipulation clearly illustrated or for them in all forms as something gravely disordered. Advertising would cease to exist in such a society, as would propaganda in all its forms, and psychopaths would be like fish out of water because manipulation only works when it isn't recognized as such. One can also imagine a culture which values empathy, compassion, and helping others instead of valuing wealth, living in a tiny house, free. You know, I don't need to be, yeah, leave me alonism of the view and I'm good.
Free.
Freedom. Accomplishment and conquest, you know, that wouldn't be valued. You know, it's living you're not the jerk. You're an add to a community. You know, you let psychopaths in your community and you're done. Now, that's how it starts. It was a great hippie commune until this one guy. It's always that one guy or gal. It always is. This is what I'm talking about.
I've read articles about this before, and it's one of the things they say, if you've got a lot of chaos in your life and it continues to be a bother, they go, step back and look, and you'll usually find out that there's one person that's always stirring the pot.
Right.
Maybe not directly with you, but there's usually one person stirring the pot.
Grandma.
And that's a psychopath.
Okay, let's see. Wealth, conscience, ability to protect people. In such a culture, we see the ability to connect with people and work for the good of the whole elevated rather than seeing the ability to do whatever it takes to claw your way to the top of the heap elevated. In such a society, psychopathy would actually be an immense disadvantage rather than an immense advantage. Here we go. This is the conversation that Bob and I was having last night.
Yeah, I think it's...
And I'm saying, no, I have faith in you. Because if we allowed the sociopathic individuals and kingdoms and dominions and all that, we'd be extinct by now. You know, this would not, we would not be as far along as we are now. We have created enormous wealth for them to take. And by this organization, once we realize we need to stop having all these institutions and government and intertwined agenda of whatever the hell, you know, that is not the solution. That is the problem. Is.
The government does more problems, causes more damage fixing the problems they say they're trying to save us
from. Is what Adam Kokesh was going on about. We were talking a few days ago with him, and he goes, you know, you did away with the drug war, and no matter, and this is what he said, and I don't even think and it really sparked a conversation, and I wanted to dwell in on it because of this. He goes, regardless of whatever damage you're going to have, you know, Oregon legalizes, mushrooms and heroin and LSD, whatever. They just said, we're done with the drug war, you know. And he goes, no matter what problems you could possibly come up of how many school children OD'd on heroin or whatever, you have eliminated so much thuggery, so much pain, so many people that have been disadvantaged because of the policy. The cure was worse than the disease. You know, and then Bob comes up with the great one.
And I go, oh, it's just like slavery then. If they said all the slavery damage that was done hundreds of years later, we have to pay reparations. And now the federal government, with slowly but surely looks like they're ending the drug war, they need to admit that the damage done to society, to all these, populations of people that were damaged over the course of this drug war, there needs to be reparations.
What kind of reparations?
There needs to be stoner reparations.
Stoner reparations!
The damage, and you know, we say it jokingly, but think about the lives that were destroyed over marijuana over the last 50 years. Those people should be made whole. And the people that were damaged by those people being damaged should be made whole. If indeed we're going to go down this reparations route, there should be stoner reparations for the damage done by the drug war, because the government perpetrated that on the people, and there's been immense damage done, way more than the drugs could have ever caused.
This concept right here, if we had to pick any one thing, because that's why it's the love bus. That's why we're being funded. It was the mindset of other people were going, the only way to combat this, because, and they go like this, if you're dealing in 3D space or meat space or out here, and what, you're going to lose because you're going up against they, them, those, unlimited resources or whatever the hell. That's not it. It's a spiritual thing. You know, it's where we put ourselves. It's how we think. It's our mindset. It's what they don't have, what they don't understand, and what is our power, not our weakness, love and compassion. They don't have it. They don't understand it.
Yeah, they just can't. It's not like they
can't.
They're incapable of it.
And they can't create things the way that they just want to control stuff or take it over. They can't create it. They can just take it over. They have no creativity other than to how creatively we're going to take your resources and your stuff and you doing it. So they need us to be shamed into being Karens, to turning in our neighbors, to working for the collective of them or something, because they can't do it themselves. They need us to create and do it for them so then they can rip it off. Once, and this is the point that I'm making with, you know, Bob and I going, he goes, I don't know, man. It seems like evolution, they're going to spark up the evolution with some vaccines to make you more this way, or to kill us off, or do whatever they inbreed and they emphasize, or they, you know, beat three-year-old kids of the elite and to make them sociopaths so that they'll, you know, man up, boy, we're going to do whatever. And I'm going, man, you got you strangling rabbits at four or something. I mean, you know, if you're going to be doing, taking care of yourself. I don't mind you being on top of the food chain. I don't mind you looking at the world as you're the steward of God's gift of whatever. You know, don't, you know, pollute. Don't, you know, violate someone else's property or their use of. I mean, these are the things that are important. And if you want, you hunt, you know, I don't care. But you got to do the avatar thing, man. You got to be appreciative of the life given for you.
Be a human being.
Yeah. How it sustains your sustenance. You know, a lot of Native American tribes, you know, they did that. That was their thing, to be one with society, to be with the world and so on. That's not what these people are. They're not an add. They're a subtraction. This is getting, and the audio, and you know, the article goes on. Yeah, it's almost done. I don't think I'll be, you know, I'll finish it in the after show here. Let's see, because and see where ended. We just finished last paragraph. Immense disadvantage rather than in the midst advantage. They would be as psychopaths. They would be targeted as a psych. Whoa, that's a, you know, that's a scarlet letter A or something or whatever. But usually it's going to be by their action, by their fruits, you will know them. You know, so what, I got to do a brain scan. I mean, you know, what good would that do? Yeah, they're just, they're sociopaths, just go be in charge of something else, you know, and they wear, you know, clown suit and white, you know, a smiley face or something. And that, in my opinion, would be a marker of a healthy society, one in which psychopathy and sociopathy become grave mental handicaps that the affected need to actively seek help for. They're effed up in the head. There's something wrong with them. And when they go, man, I need help. I don't give a crap what these guys do. I just soon, you know, lay waste to everybody, whatever. Give me my picket fence and, you know, and my Bitcoin. And this is so the key, I believe, and why we have been successful in Bob and I doing this for 30 years. The reason has been is because we focused on the good. Well, the bad guys don't like it. I'm going to show them a bunch more, too, and out them. Out them. Out them! Stay for the archive. Yeah, and we're going to finish this up.
On Free Talk Live, we're bringing people to the ideas of liberty every day. From wrestling superstars like Glenn Jacobs.
You guys really are having an impact, I believe. Like I said, a lot of where I am now is due to listening to Free Talk Live. You changed my mind on some very important...
This is, you know, from Ian.
Yeah, I saw it. I read it.
You know, and well, then lower the freaking thing down. You know, then tell him to lower.
Yeah, if he lowers it, then we can come up to match what it needs. But right now, the network just blows you away.
And you know, I'll over-modulate.
Yeah, if you try to chase them, it just gets crazy.
Modulate. If I increase more. Buying new mixer. I got a lot of stuff going through here that might have something to do with it. Or I can bring this up. You know? I mean, I can bring it up, but then I'm hearing static. All right. Buy new mixer now. Boom. All right. So we're working on it, guys. Yeah. We're trying to, because I can, well, he showed it. I'm glad he finally showed it.
Well, I'm thinking the static.
When I'm looking at that, you know, that graphic, I'm going, fuck me, man. That's.
Yeah, that's the difference between
that's
the.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's what I needed to see. See, I see that. Now I know. Yeah. I know what that is. That's a big difference right there.
Yeah, that bumper music has just been like crazy. And when you try to talk over it, it just is like, one, you can't hear you. You can't really appreciate the music. It's just crazy. And it's, you know, hand on the volume button, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down.
All right. Well, when I record it here for the archive, it's fine. It's just that, you know, it's through the network. All right. Well, I see what's going on. Well, I need him to bring it down. Because if I try and crank it up and go over, it over-modulates everything.
Yeah, no. He needs to come down probably half of what he's got right there.
Yeah, I don't know what to do other than get a new mixer. And
well,
trying to
I think the little hiss you're hearing in the background, that's probably your mixer. But it's not the level thing. It's, our levels are okay. Once everybody's equal, the people who have their hand on the volume button at their house can turn it up as loud as they want. But we all got to be equal, because if you turn up your volume at home so you can hear it, when the bumper music comes on, it blows your freaking speakers out. So you got to go home and turn it back down. And then when the show comes back on, we're like, I can only hear us talking. And they got to turn the volume back up.
Well, that's what the problem is. This is, I tell Derek, Ian, I'm going, man, that is not acceptable. You know, we got to fix that. Okay. All right, hold on a second, guys.
Yeah, at least come down to try to meet us. We'll come up a little, you come down a little. We'll meet in that middle, but They got to be equal.
Solo my silent sister trips. Well, increase me. Now something. I mean, I'm ordering new mixer, but damn, this must be addressed now. What can you do?
What's he saying about lowering his end? He can't?
No, I don't know. But he's saying that for me, his system, because I'm so low, a lot of times it'll trip, a thing saying they're silent. It's too low. It doesn't read it enough.
Well, that's true. But
so crank it up.
Yeah, you can crank you up. But
no, I mean, crank me up, too.
Yeah, he needs to bring you down a little, or him down a little, and you up a little.
Yeah.
And get everybody
low. No, he's got settings there, so freaking do it. See, nobody's there monitoring it. It's all automated. And I'm going, well, get your ass over in the chair and do it, So whatever. If we can't fix this, and I can't do it, it's not. I'll just do recorded stuff, and do live streaming. I want to help them, but I'm not gonna, just piss everybody off all the time, So we'll see. How much is it me and how much is it them? We'll see. All right, but we need to get this done, guys, because that we're getting into the dam. And now that I see the difference on the screen, because I know what the waveform looks like, and he's showing me a picture, I'm going, fuck me, man, that's bad. I know what that's like. That's everything Bob's been freaking out about.
Yeah, I've been telling you for months.
Yeah, but you didn't show me a wave file.
Well,
I don't know how much. That doesn't mean anything to me.
I don't do the wave.
Yeah, do the wave. Okay, let's finish this up. We only got a couple more paragraphs here. And that, my opinion, And that, in my opinion, would be the maker of a healthy society, one in which psychopathy and sociopathy become grave mental handicaps that the afflicted need to actively seek help for. A society that is so empathetic and collaborative that having a diagnosis of schizophrenia or bipolar disorder isn't such a big deal because your neighbors work with you and help you with what you need rather than pushing you to conform and achieve. While having psychopathy or sociopathy is debilitating disorder, which will turn you into a pariah sleeping on park benches if you don't get help. Right now, we have the opposite. People with schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and other serious mental illnesses are treated like worthless hindrances to a society which values achievement over empathy, while psychopaths and sociopaths almost never seek help unless it's court-ordered. See, this is what I was talking about, is that when you have these people that are psychopaths and sociopaths and they're doing their stuff, is like if you can identify them, you're like, you flunked your IQ test. Your intelligence quotient is down because you don't value these things that we think intelligent people would value, because it continues to propagate a healthy society that propagates a healthy society. I mean, this is, and who are the people that are in control of educating your kids? Who are the people that are in control of governing you, being overruled? This article right here, man, I need to make a trifold pamphlet out of this.
Oh yeah, no, it's a thing. Ever since
that's going to the newspaper.
That thing that Dobby wrote about the
authoritarian sociopathy.
That opened my eyes. I started looking up different articles about that, and that's exactly what's going on.
His experiment was how susceptible we are to psychopaths.
Yes.
That was the point he was making. He's going, look, man, you show a shiny badge and a lab coat, and we'll just do what the hell you all tell us.
It's because we do have empathy. They look at that as that's our weakness.
Yeah. No, they see it as our a weakness. Our love and compassion is a weakness. They go, and they can play on it. It's for the children. I mean, in the 90s, it was all about the children. The environment and Earth and, whatever, and we're a plague on the, because to them, we are. All those loving, compassionate people out there just need to be, you're just freaking, just get out of the way. You're in our way. I'm like, wow. Wow, wow, wow. All right. So then we have, let's see here. Two more paragraphs. A healthy society would flip this. It would reward the things psychopaths are unable to do, and it would reject the things that psychopaths excel at. We can actually look at what psychopaths are and are not good at, and from there, kind of reverse engineer an idea of what a wholesome society would look like. Is such a society possible? I don't know. I recently put together some evidence which seems to suggest that our species may be on the verge of a drastic shift in consciousness, which would be the only facilitating agent I can think of that would make such massive cultural changes feasible. We seem to be headed for either huge changes or extinction relatively soon. So if there's a future humanity on the other side of what's coming, it's likely exists because it made extraordinary changes in both its behavior and in its relationship with the phenomenon of psychopathy. We'll either make the jump or we won't.
I don't believe we will. I think we might be millennia from it, because we're all going to have to go down this how bad the psychopaths that are in charge right now, because this is going to be probably the first time that we know of, on a world basis, you have those, they, them, those are moving in concert to enslave us
all.
Yes,
they are.
And we are going to go down, it may be one of these biblical, you know, 1,000 years of darkness before someone's going to rise up and decide that, like, you know, we've had enough and organize and whatever, you know, we'll overthrow. Or the psychopaths will eventually eat their own because they're psychopaths. So as soon as they have all us under control, they're going to start trying to get themselves under control. And, you know, but I think we're in for a long term of some really
okay, we're gonna
really
do
hard
it.
Times.
Okay, let's see if we can fix this now.